Alan sits at the kitchen table writing a cheque. There is a small toy giraffe in front of him and a bottle of liquor. He downs a shot. Charlie enters.
Tequila? Checkbook? Sourpuss? Must be alimony time.
No way, Charlie.
Boy, you'd think for all that money you should at least come over and give me a lap dance.
Leave me alone, Charlie.
In fact, you know what'd be really funny? Where it says memo, write lap dance. Give her something to explain at tax time.
Charlie smiles and nods.
Charlie, you... Okay.
So where's Jake?
Sleeping at a friend's. He'll get dropped off tomorrow.
Oh, man. I rented a movie I thought he'd like.
No, what'd you get?
Don't worry. It's educational.
1 million years BC? How is this educational?
Raquel Welch running from dinosaurs in a fur bikini? What is that, if not history?
I'm afraid you're gonna have to watch it by yourself.
Won't be the first time. What's the deal with that giraffe? How come you bring it out every time you write an alimony check?
It's symbolic.
Ah.
Don't you want to know what it's symbolic of?
No, I'm good.
I made it in ceramics class for Judith when we were dating.
Huh. All these years, I've been shelling out for tennis bracelets and satin underwear.
Well, some women aren't impressed with jewelry and lingerie.
Well, sure, if you want to date a dead girl.
Alan pours himself another shot.
Hey, I just realized. Your name is Al, and you're sending your ex-wife money. So it's Al Imani.
Hey, I just realized, your name is Charlie, and you're a moron.
Charlie cocks his head to one side, and nodding, he raises his eyebrows.
Be that as it may. If you gave her the giraffe, what are you doing with it?
When Judith kicked me out, I wanted to get back at her. I mean, she took the house, she took the car, she took the money. I felt I had to take something.
So you stole bric-a-brac?
Charlie frowns.
Symbolic bric-a-brac.
Oh, right.
You see, now, every month when I write the check, I can look at it and remind myself what a pathetic loser I am.
Alan glugs the shot. Charlie touches his shoulder.
Oh, dude, you don't need a giraffe for that. Get rid of the damn thing. You're just killing yourself with all this bitterness.
What, you think I'm hurting myself more than her?
No, I don't think you're hurting her at all. You need to move on, buddy.
Okay, here's the plan. I'm gonna bring this little fella back to Judith and clean the slate.
Did you even consider my idea?
You drive.
Why do I have to go?
Because I am obviously too drunk to drive.
What does that say about your plan?
2½ Men. Created by Chuck Lorre and Lee Aronsohn. Followed by Charlie, Alan approaches the front door of a house, holding the small giraffe.
Alan, wait. Don't try to stop me, Charlie. I am giving Judith back the giraffe. Oh, I don't want to stop you. I just want a good view.
Alan sways.
Okay, you can stay.
He points at the doormat.
Charlie, look at this. Look at this. The Harpers.
Yeah, so?
She's not the Harpers anymore. She's the Harper.
Alan points vigorously.
That mat is a complete lie.
Yeah, and it's in cahoots with the mailbox.
Alan stares back at Charlie.
Come on, ring the bell.
You and me, we're the Harpers. Us.
A man in a bathrobe answers the door.
Oh, Alan.
Dr. Melnick, is Jake all right?
I assume so. He's spending the night at a friend's.
Oh, that's right. Dr. Melnick is Jake's pediatrician, so naturally, I thought.
Alan looks at Dr. Melnick, who purses his lips and stares back at them.
Oh, okay.
Looks like somebody else is giving your wife the giraffe.
You sure didn't forget the garlic balls.
Dressed in a white bathrobe, Judith skips over.
What are you doing here?
Why don't I just get back in the hot tub and give you guys a minute?
Dr. Melnick leaves.
Well?
I came to give you this.
What is it?
I made it for you.
Just now?
No, a long time ago.
It's symbolic.
Alan, You are a disturbed man. You need help.
Enjoy those garlic balls. Wow, that was more fun than I expected. Come on, giraffe boy, I'll buy you a drink.
Okay. Wait.
Alan bends over and swipes the doormat. Alan bumps into Charlie, then raises a hand. They leave. Alan and Charlie sit at a bar, the doormat in front of them. Alan holds the giraffe.
Our pediatrician.
My ex-wife is sleeping with our pediatrician.
Alan snaps the giraffe in two and puts it down.
I wonder if she gets a lollipop after every visit.
Alan glares at Charlie, who picks up the giraffe's neck and stirs a glass of whiskey with it before dropping it back on the bar.
You know, you're actually a very lucky man.
Oh, really? Really? How am I lucky, Charlie? Show me the luck.
Well, first of all, if Jake ever gets sick or hurt, free medical care is only a hot tub away.
Well, that's true. He is good with kids. You know, I begged her to do it with me in the hot tub. She said it made her hair frizzy.
Well, apparently she's found the right conditioner.
But what if she's serious about this guy? What if she marries him?
Even better.
Better? How is it better? Show me the better.
If she marries him, you're off the hook for alimony.
That is better.
In fact, if you saw the big picture, you'd encourage this relationship. This guy is a real catch for you. Don't let him get away.
You're right. You're right. Maybe I should go back there and, you know, bless their union.
No. You provided the woman and the hot tub. That's enough for one night.
Yeah, I guess.
Alan takes a sip from a glass of whiskey. Charlie looks at him.
Probably even paid for the garlic balls.
They both glug their whiskey. Daytime at the house. Charlie steps out onto the landing in a t-shirt, socks, and boxer shorts. Rubbing his eyes, he takes a tentative first step down the stairs.
Ow.
He holds his head.
Ow.
He takes another step, then takes his hand from his brow.
Huh.
He continues.
Ow.
Can I get some more coffee, Berta?
Who's stopping you?
Middle-aged redhead Evelyn gets up from the kitchen table as Berta finishes washing up. Evelyn pours herself some coffee, her back to Charlie as he enters. He makes a pouring gesture to Berta, then points up.
Get your own damn coffee.
Evelyn sits down at the kitchen table.
Well, Charlie, you're finally up.
Mom?
Where's my grandson?
He's at a sleepover. He'll be here later.
And no one calls me? I wouldn't come over if I'd been told he wasn't here.
Good to know.
And where's your brother? His car's not in the driveway?
Hey, Mom, I'm not even sure where my pants are.
All right, well, it looks like you and I get to spend a little quality time together.
Gee, I'd love to, but I got my regular Sunday morning softball game.
Charlie.
Yeah?
It's Saturday.
Charlie stops in his tracks.
Damn.
Dressed in a yellow shirt and brown trousers, Alan walks up to Judith's doorstep and returns the doormat to the stoop. He rings the doorbell. Dr. Melnick answers.
Oh, you're still here.
Yeah. Listen, Alan, I'm really sorry about this whole thing.
No. I should apologize to you. Showing up here last night unannounced, that's completely inappropriate, and I came by to tell you it won't happen again.
So you came over unannounced to apologize for coming over unannounced?
I was afraid you'd pick up on that. So, is Judith up yet?
Actually, she's not here. She ran to the market.
Oh, up and out this early on a Saturday. Oh, good for her. She used to sleep a lot when we were together. It's probably just the depression and the meds.
Meds?
Oh, no, it's nothing serious. Just your everyday little pink pill to turn that frown upside down.
Look, Alan, I gotta tell you, this is a little awkward for me.
Oh, no, please, don't feel awkward. Look, we are obviously going to be seeing each other a lot. And there's no reason for anybody to feel uncomfortable.
It's a very mature attitude. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
They smile at each other.
So let me make you some coffee.
Alan waltzes inside past Dr. Melnick. At the house, Charlie and Evelyn sit on the couch watching TV.
Are we supposed to believe that cave women waxed their legs and wore fur bikinis?
It's not a documentary, Mom.
Evelyn folds her arms and stretches her neck.
You know, I'm not going to be around forever, and the time will come when you'll regret ignoring me.
She turns off the TV.
Charlie, why do you hate me?
What?
Whenever I come over, you do everything you can to avoid spending time with me.
Obviously not everything.
Evelyn fidgets with her sleeves.
Look, we're spending time together right now.
All you're doing is staring at the television, and it's not even on anymore.
I can still see you.
He waves at the TV.
Charlie, look at me.
Evelyn sits sideways on the couch, staring at Charlie, who slowly and reluctantly turns his head to face her. She looks him in the eyes.
How long you want to do this for?
I want you to talk to me.
Okay, I'm out of here.
No, wait. Berta, come, sit, talk.
Mommy and me time over already?
He hates me.
No, I don't. Please, Berta, I need you.
I'm done. I want to go home.
Berta, I'm begging you.
Oh, all right.
Charlie walks Berta over to the couch and sits her between himself and his mom. They stare into space. Berta turns to him.
So why do you hate your mother?
Go. Coffee, orange juice, and my secret stash of mint Milanos from the back of the freezer. Just a tip, if you want quality cookies around here, you gotta hide them. Judith eats Pepperidge Farm like she's going to the chair. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Ever been married?
My wife passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Alan squirms in his seat on the sofa.
No alimony, though. Gotta love that.
Dr. Melnick frowns back at Alan, who chuckles nervously to himself, then fidgets awkwardly and looks away.
Hey, here's a funny thing. My name's Al, and I give Judith money. So it's alimony.
Wouldn't it be alimony?
I was afraid you'd pick up on that. You got kids?
No.
Well, that's a blessing. What with the dead wife and all.
Alan stops short of sipping his drink, then reaches over for a plate of cookies.
Mint Milanos?
No, thank you.
So anyway, kids. Hey, you know, it's not too late for you. Judith is a wonderful mother.
I know, but we're not at that stage in our relationship.
Oh, of course not. On the other hand, you don't want to wait too long. She's no spring chicken.
Dr. Melnick looks at the floor.
You know, egg-wise.
Berta talks to Evelyn, her back to Charlie.
So I'm having this nice Mother's Day dinner with my slutty daughter and her idiot boyfriend, and suddenly the front door comes down and the room fills with tear gas. Next thing I know, I'm belly up on the floor, hacking out a lung while the cops are dragging out Bonnie and Claude in handcuffs. Come to find out that the money that I loaned them to open a tanning salon was used to turn my tool shed into a hydroponic pot farm.
Unbelievable. Your daughter came to visit on Mother's Day.
Well, sure. What kind of ungrateful mutt doesn't visit their mother on Mother's Day?
Charlie looks up from the TV guide. They glare at him.
1 year I forgot. Let it go.
When's my birthday?
Excuse me?
You heard me.
What's that got to do with anything?
You don't know your mother's birthday?
Not by heart.
Charlie.
What? She changes it all the time.
Just the year, not the day.
Hey, I just realized something. I can leave.
Fine. But before you go, just tell me one thing.
What?
Why do you hate me?
Oh, Mom, for God's sake. Rose! No, Rose, wait! Rose, come on in.
Rose steps through the French windows.
Look, my mom's here. You like my mom.
Oh, sure. Hi, Evelyn.
Hello, dear.
Are those my pants?
No. I bought these. But I think this might be your wallet and keys.
From the trouser pocket, she sits on the arm of the couch.
Evelyn, you get younger every time I see you.
Oh, aren't you a dear? And thank you for the birthday card.
Oh, did you get it on time?
Yes, I did, and it was lovely. So sweet of you to remember me.
How could anybody forget your birthday?
They each look across at Charlie. At Judith's, Alan and Melnick eat cookies.
Well, yeah.
You know, she does become a little emotional at times, huh? I thought you were still getting over your divorce.
No, no. She was over the divorce while I was still packing. Now, what you're seeing is low blood sugar. Now, the trick to that is to always have a couple of fun-sized Snickers in your pocket. It'll perk her right up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and here's another tip. When she starts crying for no reason, and she will, never say, don't cry. And try not to touch her.
Okay.
Or whistle. Never, ever whistle.
Melnick nods and stares into space. Alan sighs. At the house.
Okay, maybe I forgot a birthday or two. Maybe I don't return every single call, but that doesn't mean I hate her.
Was he breastfed?
Of course he was. Not by me personally.
That's interesting, because I see the broads that come through here, and he does tend to favor the big yams.
I do not.
Oh, really? Raquel Welch.
Hey, that's a damn fine film.
Come to think of it, the one night we were together, he did spend a freakish amount of time on my boobies. I mean, foreplay is one thing, but golly, it was like making love to a cat.
Rose, for God's sake, you're talking to my mother.
Sorry, a very giving cat.
He's always had an oral fixation. When he was little, he used to suck on other children's thumbs.
And now he's always got a bottle of booze in his mouth.
My therapist says that's just his way of stuffing his feelings.
That's what my therapist says.
Hell, I could have told you that for free.
Jake enters wearing a backpack.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, it's Jake. Back from his sleepover. Look who's here to see you, buddy.
Hi, Grandma.
Hello, sweetheart. Thank you for the lovely birthday card.
My mom picked it out.
Aw, you love her, don't you?
Sure.
Thank you. You can go now.
Jake leaves.
Can I go too?
We're not done with you. Where were we?
We were trying to figure out why Charlie hates you.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie?
Okay, fine. Here it is. I'm not saying I hate you, but if I did, it might have something to do with the fact that you're a narcissistic bloodsucker who drove my father into an early grave. After which you married a succession of men who couldn't care less about Alan and me, which was just fine with you because you looked at us like a couple of dancing monkeys you could just haul out whenever it suited you. And when it didn't, you sent us off to boarding school or camp or that kibbutz in Israel where we got beat up because we weren't even Jewish. And now you show up here every chance you get to lay a guilt trip on me for not appreciating my cold, lonely, loveless childhood.
Evelyn looks at the floor, then stands.
Well.
She puts her hands on his shoulders.
Obviously, you're not ready to talk about it.
She pats him on the cheek, then leaves. At Judith's, Alan is massaging Dr. Melnick's neck.
Alan, you really don't have to do this.
Hey, I am a licensed chiropractor. If Jake had a sore throat, I'm sure you'd treat him, prescribe something.
I know, but it's nothing. I think I just slept wrong.
Well, that's probably because you're not used to our bed.
He stops and pauses awkwardly before moving on to the shoulders.
So have you met Judith's parents?
No.
Oh, they are just going to love you. They were devastated by the divorce, not to mention some of her unfortunate choices thereafter.
Unfortunate choices?
Oh, you know, that's not important. What's important is they're just going to be relieved to see she's dating a man.
Wide-eyed, Melnick turns his head and blinks.
Oh, you carry a lot of tension up here.
Judith enters.
Alan!
Alan twists Melnick's head to the right as he looks up. At the house, Alan writes a check as Charlie repairs the giraffe.
Didn't you just pay your alimony?
This is the pediatrician's bill.
Jake was sick?
No. The pediatrician had to see an orthopedist.
Did you know that Mom's birthday was a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I sent her some flowers and a card.
Oh, man. Would it have killed you to put my name on the card?
As a matter of fact, I did put your name on it. I wrote, love, your sons, Alan and Charlie.
Damn.
What?
She tricked me into thinking I forgot.
ITFC audio description by Sam Clark.
Men, manly men.